Welcome to the Plastic Surgery Podcast with your host, Mike Campion. From breasts, bellies, and Botox to tummy tucks, butt lifts, and mommy makeovers, we uncover it all for you. Listen in on interviews with real-life patients, top-notch surgeons, and industry experts. You're going to hear about costs, recovery times, what to expect, risks, rewards, and all sorts of behind-the-scenes access to all things cosmetic surgery. Whether you want a new look, a little more confidence, or just a flat-out feel better, you're in the right place.
Welcome, Plastic Surgery Nation, to today's installment of All Things Cosmetic Surgery. Remember to help make the show great by emailing your questions, comments, and rude remarks to mike@plasticsurgerypodcast.com. You can also call the Plastic Surgery Podcast hotline at 888-636-8266. And last but certainly not least, tell your friends, enemies, families, and strangers passing by just how much you love Plastic Surgery Podcast. Before I introduce today's outstanding guest, I wanted to give you the heads up that we had some technical difficulties on this interview, and you might notice some slight changes in audio throughout the podcast, but this episode was so good I couldn't bear to keep you from it, so let's get to it. Today's top doc is Dr. Ellen Janetsky. Dr. Ellen is one of the few female surgeons who specializes in breast augmentation, breast reduction, and reconstructive surgery. She's got more than 14 years' experience as a plastic surgeon, and her ability to understand, anticipate, and fulfill patient expectations honestly and realistically has gained her reputation as both a gifted surgeon and caring doctor. You can connect with Dr. Ellen at drellen.com. All that'll be at the Plastic Surgery Podcast show notes page, or you can email her at info@drellen.com. Finally, you can give her a ring at 248-220-6760. Dr. Ellen, say hello to Plastic Surgery Nation.
Hello, Plastic Surgery Nation.
All right, are you excited? Because we've got people out there that are dying to know how smart you are, so I want to know that you're ready to bring it, sister.
I'm ready.
All right, I believe you. So before we get into all the ins and outs of what we're going to talk to you today on the plastic surgery side, I would love to know a little bit about you. So if you want to share if you're married, if you have kids, pets, where you live, what you do for fun, we're all ears.
Well, I live in actually Rochester Hills, Michigan, which is north of Detroit, a suburb north of Detroit. And it's really not as bad as you might think being in Detroit. Well,
good sometimes. Disclaimer.
But I am married. We don't have any children. We actually have only been married about 4 years. But we have lots of nieces and nephews that live close by. So we get lots of visitors, which is awesome. And then we get to spoil them and send them back home. So that's even better.
All the fun, none of the responsibility. Lovely.
Yes, it's awesome. And we're donated a swing set. So they like ours better than theirs. So it's fabulous.
That's fantastic.
Other than that, let's see, what do we do for fun? Stuff. No.
Wait, hold on, let me get that down. Stuff, is that with two F's? I gotta make sure that's in the show notes.
Yeah, I think so. Two F's. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. When there's time for fun, I think I drink wine for fun. I think that's really what I do.
And most of the time, not while you're operating.
No, I would say never.
Never is probably a better stat than most of the time. So I'm going to jump in because Dr. Ellen is being super, I don't want to say shy so much as humble. I've got rumor, and you can confirm or deny this, that you have run 6 marathons and a ton of half marathons. You own a Harley that you ride around, and every now and again you even golf, and you're a musician. Is that all true?
That is all true.
I like you 36% better after all those facts, I got to say.
Only 36?
I've done the math. It speaks for itself. I don't know what to tell you. And you were in the marching band at University of Michigan. Is that true?
That is also true.
I will give you $7 American if you will email me a picture of you in the marching band, in your uniform, and that will absolutely make it onto the show notes page.
I know I have one somewhere. I will look for it.
If I don't see it, I'm going to have Natalie talk to your sister, whoever's in charge of that, your husband, or whoever I got to get that thing, because that would be awesome.
Yeah, I know I have one somewhere. I'll find it.
My breath and Plastic Surgery Nation's breath will be cumulatively held until this picture makes its way onto your show notes page. So consider yourself pressured.
Okay, I do.
All right, fantastic. So I'd love to ask, before we talk, now that we kind of know you a little bit, before we get into your genius of exactly what we're going to talk about on the plastic surgery side, what attracted you as a young woman to plastic surgery as opposed to any of the other opportunities that you had?
Well, honestly, what really got me is when I was a medical student, I was actually in on a case. I was actually in an ENT rotation, and there was a young gentleman who tried to commit suicide and tried with a gun, and instead blew off his nose instead of accomplishing his goal. And they were going to reconstruct the nose, and I thought that was the coolest thing in the world, that we could make a new nose, because who thought you could make a new nose? So I just, that's really what attracted me. Like, really, we can recreate people, and I thought that was just the most awesome thing. So that's really how I got into it. Now, have I ever reconstructed a nose? No, but I do know how.
Well, I'm glad that you're not getting a ton of gunshot wounds. Although in Detroit, maybe that's a common thing. I don't know.
Yeah. I live north of that.
I'm sorry. It's in my blood. As a host, I can't stop. But, you know, I got to take at least one shot. So that was it. There won't be any more. Well, that's a great story. I love asking surgeons that, because it's really cool. I haven't heard one yet that hasn't said something about, I just saw this and I was so passionate about to be able to change people and help people and serve them. I think that's a great way to kind of decide your life's work, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Last question that I promise we're going to get into your specialty. I love hearing you plastic surgeons have the best stories, and you've always got a ton of them. So if you can, shuffle through the Rolodex in your mind of all the funny, cool, shocking patient stories you've had, and drop some good stuff on Plastic Surgery Nation.
Wow. Yeah, there are so many. Like, trying to sift through. The computer is probably working a little slow. What would be a really good story?
I could hum in the background if you think that would help you concentrate.
Well, yeah, like the Jeopardy or something. Yeah, that'd be great. I don't know.
It's so funny. Every plastic surgeon answers the same way. No one says, I don't have any stories. Don't ask me that. They all say, I've got 100. I can't pick the best one. So,
right.
So you're in good company.
There was one recently that I thought was really funny. She's kind of, well, she's a nurse, but she's 67 or something. She works in like the psych ward at the VA or something like this. So, you know, she sees a lot of interesting people, shall we say. And she's pretty, a tough cookie, but she's really funny. And we actually did a breast reduction on her. And then we couldn't get her to come back to the office. And she finally came back, and she was just like going on, I don't know why I'm here. They're great. And she was going on and on and on. And she's like, here, this is my coming out picture. And she shows us a picture of like a see-through top with no bra on. This is how I took him out for the first time. We're like, you want out like that? She's like, yeah. Why not? I'm 67. These are the prettiest ones I've ever had. Why can't I show it to everybody?
That's fantastic. I hope you put a picture of those somewhere on your site with a quote. I'm 67. These are the best I've ever had.
Yeah, I should. But I think we'd be a little embarrassed putting them.
See, that's why you're classy and I'm not. I'd have that all over my website. I think that's fantastic. If she's not ashamed, neither should any of the rest of us.
Yeah, I suppose we should take on that, or think of it that way.
Or if you don't want the picture, at least you've got to put the quote, I'm 67 and these are the best I've ever had. That's fantastic. I could chat about, I could make fun of Detroit and ask you about your marching band experience all the afternoon, but the nation would revolt because they want to know about plastic surgery. And today, you are a big rock star in the world of mommy makeovers, and that's such a huge topic nowadays. So I want to talk a little bit about that. We talked about how you got into plastic surgery. What chose you to kind of highlight this particular aspect of what you do?
Well, I think it just kind of came naturally because honestly, breast augmentation, breast reduction, I do a ton of them. And then, you know, abdominoplasties kind of came along with it. And I actually do a lot of reconstruction after massive weight loss. So the whole body is involved there. So really, mommy makeovers, it's kind of fun. And it's great to put moms back together again, to get back to what they were before. And we hear that all the time. I just want my body back. And it's just awesome to be able to do that for them.
That's a great answer. And it kind of prompted another couple questions in my mind. Uh-huh. First of all, let's define mommy makeover. Is it a specific set of like A, B, and C, or can it be four or five, like any number, you know, any two or three of four or five potentials? What's the universe of mommy makeover?
Well, usually it has something to do with the breasts and the belly, but sometimes there's liposuction involved with it as well. And it's really just to make, I guess you could say, from the neck to the pubic area back to normal.
Okay. So any two or three kind of procedures below the neck and above kind of sea level that you can combine, that'd be a mommy makeover.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And is it really, I mean, I got to imagine there's a lot of mommies that do this, but you know, you have some kids or twins or a couple kids that can really do a number. Do you have non-mommies that just, you know, have had a weight issue, or who all is a good candidate for this?
Well, I mean, technically, I guess you're calling it a mommy makeover. You kind of have to be a mom, but.
Yeah. Do they have to sign a waiver? Do they have to bring their kid in and like, show you? What kind of background check do we do?
Yeah, really. I really did have kids, I swear. No, but I mean, yeah, technically, I mean, when we do massive weight loss patients and removing all of their extra skin and, you know, redoing their chest or whatever, I mean, that technically could be considered a mommy makeover. But honestly, normally when we're doing a mommy makeover, we're doing somebody that, you know, hasn't had like that, maybe that significant of a weight loss and is just really stretched out. Their breasts are, you know, hanging on the floor, you know, that kind of thing.
Not
we're
a
just
good
trying
look.
To put them back. Yeah.
So what, tell me about that. I know a lot of mommies out there that, you know, even if they get fit and, you know, they've really worked hard on the body, they still have the stretch marks on the belly area. Is that something that you guys can address, or is that just something we're living with nowadays?
Not always can we pull that skin all the way down, because we really like to get the skin just above the belly button all the way down. And if I've already had that done one time, we might not be able to get that far.
Let me sum up what I thought I heard you say so okay. I can make sure that we, because again, I always mishear sometimes. I want to make sure I got it. So it sounds like on the regular mommy makeovers, you can't do much about the stretch marks in terms of removing like with creams or salves or surgically, but that skin where the stretch marks usually are, that's what's removed. And then if you do have stretch marks above the belly button, a lot of times those are brought below your bikini line, so they're hidden a little better.
Correct.
And then on top of that, most moms sounds like don't, they're kind of plan well. And it's like, well, I'm not going to have, you know, if I've had a kid and I want one or two more, maybe hold off on the mommy makeover. And when they're done, that's when they'll do it. But if you do have a surprise, it sounds like you can kind of get the same results the second time around.
If you accidentally had another kid after you had a tummy tuck, could you do it again? And the answer is yes. And should you get a similar result? Yeah, you should probably get a pretty close result. It's just sometimes we aren't able to pull the tissue down as much as we did the skin down as much as we did the first time. And so like where the belly button is, we have to cut around it, and that might not make it all the way down. So you might end up with like a little vertical scar between your belly button and the pubic hairline.
Which leads me to a question I never thought in my life I'd ask, but here I am. I'm going to ask it. Okay. How on God's green earth do you make a belly button? It sounds hard. Well, is that hard?
Yeah, we don't really make a new belly button. Usually we try not to because it is really hard to make a new one. But basically what we do when we do the abdominoplasty is we cut around the belly button and then loosen it up from the surrounding like skin and soft tissues. And then it kind of comes through like a plug. So it's still attached to you. And then we bring the skin down. I always say like a window shade, pulling the window shade down. And then we make a new hole for the belly button and bring it back through.
Wow. So you kind of just move instead of try to create.
Correct.
I'm glad I wasn't going to be able to sleep tonight without knowing that. That makes a lot more sense. I'm trying to picture you trying to make one. I'm like, that's going to look terrible. Who could possibly do that? So I like using the original factory equipment as much as possible.
Yes, exactly. We really try to do that.
All right. So if I'm a mommy and, you know, I'm a little, you know, gravity's taking its toll. The kids have abused my body. I love the concept of a mommy makeover, but I'm probably a little scared of, well, gee, mini Christmas, if they get in my belly and do a little lipo and this and that and the breast. Sounds like that's just going to be, I'm going to feel like I got hit by a train. What's the recovery process from, you know, compared to if I did just a breast augmentation or just some sort of belly situation compared to doing it both at the same time?
Well, honestly, you will feel like you were hit by a train, but
I appreciate the honesty.
Most people tell me it's about like 2 weeks. I mean, we see people like back, you know, within 5 to 7 days, and they're all looking at me like, what on earth did you do to me? And by the next time we see them, which is about at week 3, they're like, okay, I forgive you now. And I like it. This, I get it. I can see it. So it's around week 2 that people start to feel better. But honestly, when we do something with the breasts and the belly at the same time, most people don't like forget about their breasts because the belly is the one that bothers them the most. So it really is an additive, even though it sounds like it. If we do a little liposuction, sometimes it just makes it a little bit more difficult to move, but it's still the belly that takes the cake, I guess, on the discomfort.
Okay, so it's really, so even breast or belly, the belly is going to be a harder recovery either way. So it's kind of nice. It's almost like from a pain or recovery or discomfort standpoint, I get a free breast job because I'm just focused on the pain of the belly.
Exactly, exactly. So we always encourage people, if you're going to do it at the same time. One recovery, get it over with. Yeah.
And then how does that work financially? Is it cheaper to, or, you know, is it just more reasonable cost-wise if you get them done at the same time, or is it the same cost either way?
It's usually a little bit less expensive just because, well, I can't speak for all plastic surgeons, but I know in my practice, if you get two procedures done at the same time, we usually discount the second one. So that helps a little bit there. And then in terms of the OR and anesthesia, you know, the facility costs, the first hour is the most expensive because that's when you have to open all the equipment and all that stuff. So no matter how long you're in that room, you only have to do that one time. So the subsequent hours are less money. So the longer you're in there, the less the hour is. And so it just makes sense to do it that one time because then you only have to pay for that first hour once.
Okay. So it sounds like if you've got like, hey, I've got two or three things I'm kind of looking at, both from a physical health and recovery and money and everything, it sounds like doing it all at once is a really good option. That maybe that's why Mommy Makers have been so popular lately.
Yeah, exactly. I think so. You know, and I guess I have to add the disclaimer because I want people running like, hey, they said I need to get all these things done. There is a limit. You know, it's like there's only so many things we can do together safely, you know, and I guess that's like the biggest key is we want to make sure, yeah, we want to do as much as we can for you at one time and get you one recovery. But, you know, if we have to make sure that you're, you know, still alive to enjoy it.
Yeah, well, let's talk about that for a second. What would be too much? What would be a work prospective patient came in and said, I want A, B, C, and D? What would the A, B, C, and D have to be until you said, you know what, that's just not safe. I'm not willing to do that.
Well, you know, most things with a mommy makeover, I say, are going to be pretty safe. If you do something with the breast, the belly, and liposuction, it's just we know that when you do anything with an abdominoplasty, your risk of complication goes up. I mean, sometimes significantly, sometimes not so much. So there's a lot of things that we try to do to prevent things from happening. I think the biggest complication, the one that everybody worries the most about and gets most scared about, is a blood clot. And we know that when we do abdominoplasties, your risk is higher than pretty much with any other surgery we do except a facelift, which still has never made sense to me. I mean, what, it's a face. But anyway, so you know, so the longer you're under anesthesia and the more things you have done, the greater your risk of blood clots is. I'm not sure what the English.
You can say it any way you like. You're a plastic surgeon, for crying out loud. You just say what you want.
Yeah, I can hear my English teacher mother going, I taught you better than that. Anyways.
We won't send her a copy. Don't worry.
Thank you. Or my sister, because she'd actually probably get on my case more. But anyway.
No, sister's already on the list. Sorry, she's getting one. You should have negotiated that before we started.
Oh, no, she won't care anyway.
What is the biggest frustration you see patients having with this procedure, and what can plastic surgery nation do to kind of arm themselves with information and avoid that?
There's a couple of things that I guess to touch on, and some is really the scarring sometimes really bothers people. There are some new, well, there is, I should say, a newer device, we'll call it. It's called Embrace, which has silicone in it, and it actually helps really take off the tension off the skin edges. And it really does work well. We've seen it work really well in our patients, but it is kind of expensive. But, you know, I guess if you're paying that much to make your belly look better, you probably want your scar to look as good as possible too. So that's probably worth it. From, I guess, a plastic surgeon standpoint, the things that bug me most is that sometimes the belly button doesn't heal as well as we want it to, and that can be kind of annoying. It's really more annoying than everything. We always get it to heal, and then sometimes we have to fix the scar. It's just one of those things. If I could figure out what to do to make that not ever be a problem, I would do it, but honestly, it's just a matter of blood flow and how we're made, so I really don't think I can. I guess I can take that up with our creator.
But, all right, well, when you get with God and crack that code, we'll have you back on the show and you can share with everybody how to avoid that.
There you go. How to avoid this problem. Yeah, so, you know, those are one of the things that I guess most, like, annoying to me. Another thing that can happen is people have probably heard of, like, what we call dog ears, because we have to end the incision at some point. And sometimes if we do a little liposuction over in that hip area or whatever, the skin shrinks up but the scar doesn't, then you got this little thing sticking out. You know, it's annoying, but it's easy to fix too. So Other than that, I'm trying to think from a patient's perspective. I think it's really just mostly the discomfort and getting back and moving around into their normal activities again. But it always happened.
Okay. Well, and that's great to know, because I think when patients are educated on the front end going in, it's a little easier to deal with it on the backside. Whereas if they find out and get that kind of a surprise, that can really kind of put a rift in the relationship between surgeon and patient.
Right, right.
Okay, on that same track, as long as we're giving out public service announcements, if you could make sure every prospective patient that was considering a mommy makeover knew one thing that you could just tell the world, like, hey, know this before you consider it, what would that one thing be?
The one thing.
A lot of pressure. If it's a wrong answer, we're all going to make fun. It's going to be awful.
Right, exactly. You're all going to make fun of me. I guess the one thing that I would say is that, especially when you're looking at a lot of before and after pictures, you know, some are definitely better than others, but you definitely have to take in body shape and like the patient's weight at the time, you know. And so, you know, honestly, people that are thin with really thin flaps and just a lot of extra skin might end up looking better than somebody that's still, you know, pretty heavy. But regardless, everyone is happy because they're getting rid of that extra stuff that's been hanging around that they're tucking into their clothes that they can't stand anymore.
We were chatting before the show, and I forgot the question I asked, but you gave me the best patient quote ever that's going to be in the show notes. Would you play? I forget what I said. Something about, what's your biggest patient pain? What upsets them? And you got to repeat what you said for Plastic Surgery Nation.
They said they're tired of tucking their skin into their pants.
So that's a great, I would love if they had a, you know, advertising for plastic surgeons, like, tired of tucking your skin into your pants? Call right. Dr. Ellen.
Yeah, that maybe we should use it. I like it. I like it.
I think that is fantastic, and I'm knocking it off immediately onto the show notes page. All right, so that is the one thing that you'd want every prospective patient to know. I always love, do you have any behind-the-scenes kind of insider information on mommy makeovers that you can kind of, you know, let us in on the secret and give us a little peek behind the curtain?
You know, I'm thinking, okay, it's hard because we do it every day, so we think it's just normal.
Yeah, that's the problem with you guys. I ask, you'll say things that are fascinating, but to you, it's just like, oh yeah, I cut this guy open, I did this thing, but whoa, slow down, that's really good.
Yeah. Well, what was that about? I don't know. I mean, I guess I would say we really do enjoy doing mommy makeovers because it's kind of instant gratification for us too, because we get to see it on the table. I mean, honestly, my two favorite procedures to do are a breast augmentation and an abdominoplasty, because you can see right away what the patient's going to look like. But then, unfortunately, by the time the patient wakes up, they're starting to swell, and they can still see the result, but I know what it's going to look like in about 3-4 months. You know, so I get that sneak peek, I guess. Then they have to wait for it.
Yeah, that is cool, and I like that instant gratification. There's got to be a good sense of kind of, I don't want to say job satisfaction because that sounds terrible, but just satisfaction from this woman came in and she looked like this, and that made her feel this way, and just with some of my time, I was able to really change how she feels about herself and how she looks and how her husband sees her, her prospective dates and all that stuff. That's a really exciting thing.
Yes, it is. In fact, actually, I guess kind of on that note, and you asked me before what got me into plastic surgery. Well, that is true. But when I went into plastic surgery, I thought, oh, I'm just going to do reconstruction. That's all I'm going to do. And then I actually did a rotation with a person that only did, you know, cosmetic or aesthetic surgery. And just watching the people come into the office after they had a breast augmentation or tummy tuck, and like just how they carried themselves and how they, you know, they reacted with other people and all that. It's like the transformation was just so amazing to me. I went, oh, this really isn't vanity. This is just making somebody feel better about themselves.
Yeah, and it's so cool because I think most doctors, you deal with sick people and you try and help them and you can help them. That's fantastic, and certainly not to minimize because that's crucially important. But I think the opposite happens where people minimize plastic surgery, and it's got to be so cool just to be able to know that you've changed someone's life with just a couple hours of your investment. That's fantastic.
Right, exactly.
I mean, if I was tired of tucking my skin into my pants, I'd want help, for crying out loud.
Exactly. I mean, that has to be annoying.
All right. Well, I could keep you online all day, but I'm sure you've got more productive and probably profitable things to do. So I'm going to move you right into the lightning rounds. We're going to ask you four quick questions. You're going to give four genius answers, and life is going to be grand. Question number one. What is number one quick and easy health or beauty tip you have for Plastic Surgery Nation?
The number one health or beauty tip. I suppose I should say, but I'm a really bad person about this, is that you need to wear sunscreen with zinc in it all the time.
You know, it's so funny. I hear that all the time. So I'm going to just stop and say, Plastic Surgery Nation, don't go, oh, it's the whole sun thing again. I hear that every third episode. There's a reason you hear it every third episode. Pay attention. And I get one of these days we're gonna have an older patient on. They're gonna be saying the same thing. Like, I didn't think I needed it. Now I wish I had. So that's excellent advice. Thank you so much. I think we've covered this, but I want to make double, triple sure. What is your absolute favorite procedure to perform and why?
I really think it is. Honestly, I think it's breast augmentations because it's quick and, well, for me, relatively easy.
And, yeah, the recovery for you is almost nothing.
right. And yeah, almost, you know, I might have to. No, anyways. but we do get, like I said before, we do get that instant gratification. So we get to see it. And it's just nice to be able to transfer somebody and see it that quickly with minimal scarring and, I guess, trauma to the patient.
Yeah, it sounds like the feedback I've been getting is, and I think I read some research that percentage of people said they're happy with their breast augmentations well over 90.
Yeah.
Seems like people just love it. Okay, that said, what is the number one thing that you would recommend Plastic Surgery Nation to make absolutely sure a non-negotiable they get or that happens if considering plastic surgery for themselves?
Other than the things that I know we drill in our head, like it has to be a surgeon that's certified by the American Board of Plastic Surgery, you know, hopefully some kind of an ASPS member or ASAPS or something like that. I mean, definitely that for sure. But the other thing is to make sure you're comfortable with the doctor when you meet them.
Okay, I think that's great. Definitely make sure they've got the proper credentials for what you're asking them to do. And then I like what you said of just a personal connection of, I like this person as a human being and I trust them. I think that gets overlooked a lot. So I think that's very, very wise. The flip side of that coin is, what's the number one thing that you would encourage Plastic Surgery Nation to avoid that's non-negotiable? I will not have this when considering plastic surgery.
I guess I would say, I mean, kind of the opposite of what I just said, but really more if you are talking to somebody and you're uncomfortable about even the surroundings, the place, like if something just doesn't seem legit to you, it probably isn't, and avoid it.
Yeah, that's a great point. If there's any sort of pressure, you just feel like I've got to do this now, or I think that's a great point because there's so many qualified surgeons out there. There's no reason, and you're not judging and saying this is a bad surgeon. You're just saying it's not a fit for me. So I think that's extremely wise. Okay, that said, thank you, Dr. Ellen, for being so generous with your time and expertise. If you want to connect with Dr. Ellen, go to drellen.com or email her at info@drellen.com. You can even call 248-220-6760. All of the information will be on the website at plasticsurgerypodcast.com. That said, Dr. Ellen, I appreciate you. Plastic Surgery Nation appreciates you. Plastic Surgery Nation, if you are digging the show, make sure you continue the conversation by telling your friends and check out plasticsurgerypodcast.com where you can get all the goodies, free stuff, tons more content, everything you need to know if you're even considering plastic surgery. While you're there, leave your questions, your comments, your rude remarks. I will personally respond to every one of them and I will see you there.
Congratulations. You now have more of the knowledge you need to get the body you've always dreamed of. Don't forget to subscribe to the show through iTunes or at our website, www.plasticsurgerypodcast.com, where you can check out show notes, the Plastic Surgery blog, and all the other cool stuff that lives there.